නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස Dear Dhamma friends, actually, I thought of starting a new series for Kalalgoda. Actually, we were discussing Parangama Sutta long time ago, and almost that is completed. And we discussed about 10 months of that sutta, and fairly completed that sutta. And I therefore thought of selecting a new sutta. And since some of you have fairly understood some interesting parts of the Dhamma and also able to experience some aspects of the Dhamma, and I thought of getting some more advices from Buddha, how we have to behave, how we have to conduct ourselves, and what more to do, and what else to do, and how well we need to sort of look after ourselves, and how to progress. So some of these facts are fairly summarized in a sutta called Sunakkhatta Sutta. This Sunakkhatta Sutta is available in Majjhima Nikaya, and it is a very interesting sutta. And in one occasion, Buddha was living in Lichchavi, and that is called Vesali. You know, Lichchavis are ruling the area called Vesali, and Buddha was living in that area in a Kutagarasala or a gabled house. So while Buddha was there, so many monks are approaching him, and they are telling, Bante, I have completed my task, I have achieved my goal, and now I am an arahant, I am a fully liberated person. So they do such kind of a claim. And another monk also coming, approaching the Buddha, and he also do the same thing. So many monks likewise approach the Buddha and explain that they were able to achieve everything, and they have basically have become arahants. And they are telling to the Buddha, recording or informing the Buddha, that they were able to accomplish the task, completed the training. And there is another layperson who belongs to the Lichchavi clan called Sunakkhatta. He's a layman, and who has observed this, what is going on. Now, the teacher is there, the Buddha is there, and many, many monks are approaching him, and they are paying respect to the Buddha and reporting that, Bhante, I went through this and that, and I have completed my task, and now I have done everything. Kata karaniyo, now you have completed my task. Ohita baharo, I have removed the burden. Anupatta sadatto, so I have reached the goal systematically, gradually. So likewise, the explaining the Buddha, the attainment of arahantship. So Sunakkhatta was observing this process, and he was a little doubtful about it. So once these monks left, so this Lichchavi, Sunakkhatta, approached the Buddha, and he is asking a question, very interesting question. He is asking, Bhante, now I have observed that many monks are coming and reporting to you, telling that they have accomplished the task, they have fully enlightened, and they are reporting to you, maybe as a gesture, as a showing of gratitude, or maybe simply to show themselves. So, are they really arahants? have they misunderstood? Or have they overestimated themselves? It's a kind of a valid question in a way. So then, Buddha gave a very reasonable answer, and he mentioned, among these monks who are reporting that, yes, I am an arahant, now I have accomplished my task, and there are ones who really have done that. They are truly arahants. They have done the task, they accomplished the task, they went through the whole practice, they did the diligent practice. So truly they are arahants. So they also come and explain, and they also informed me that they were able to succeed in the path. And there are others who also report as arahants, but they are really not. They are reporting out of overestimation. So this overestimation is common in that sense. It's not only today, even during the Buddha's time. So it is so. It's a kind of a common nature, especially when one is going to some higher practice. So now Buddha is explaining. So there are others, there are ones really truly arahants, they are coming, and there are others who really are not, and they are really telling that they are also arahants, but I know they are not. They are reporting it because of overestimation. And there's another group. They are also coming and reporting they as arahants, and they are even asking various questions, one after the other. And they are even worse than the second group. And Buddha is telling a little bit of, kind of condemning their activity, that they are asking various other questions, unnecessary questions, still claiming them as arahants. So the second group, when they are telling that they are arahants because of their overestimation, Buddha says, I feel like I need to explain Dhamma further. I have to admonish them. I feel like that. So the third group, who are coming and explaining and trying to put a lot of questions, are also still claiming them as arahants. Also, I feel like I got to explain these people. They have misunderstood, though they have overestimated. Still, therefore, I feel like teaching them further. And after mentioning that, then Buddha goes on to explain further how different people are associating each other. So this is a kind of a universal fact that Buddha is explaining. When people are associating, so they actually group according to their own interests. Now, there's I think English proverb, same birds flock together or something. So same thing actually Buddha is explaining, and Buddha mentioned there are five strands of sensual desires. And those are the typically what we are going through. Buddha mentioned there are fine strands of sensuality, there are very beautiful sights cognizable by the eyes, and they are pleasing, and they are enticing, and we feel delight with them, and we feel attracted to them. And as we are associating, pondering about them, thinking about them, and we are drawing our desires. So this is one type of sensual objects, sights actually available in the world. And then Buddha goes on to tell, there are sounds. They are also pleasing. We like to hear them. We like to enjoy them. In today's terms, we like to record them and keep them again and again listening to them. And as we are doing that, we are improving desires. We are increasing desires. So we are increasing defilements. And similarly, there are very pleasant odors, and that is also pleasing, enticing. We are being driven to them. We are going after them. We like to attach with them. We want to hold them. And as we are being happy with them, further desires are arising. Therefore, we are increasing defilements. And there are very delicious tastes, flavors. And that is also Buddha mentioned, that we are ready to sort of enjoy them. We are attached to them. We are enticing with them. Attracted to them. Going after them. And as we are doing that, further we are increasing our desires. And so mind get defiled. Similarly, there are tactile sensations with which we are having the contact through the body. And that is also quite pleasing. And we want to have them. And we want to keep them. We want to own them. We want to possess them. We want to enjoy them further and further. So as we do that, we are increasing our desires, and therefore our minds get defiled. So these are the five strands of sensual desire, sensuality. So this is what available in the common world. Now this is not difficult to understand. So this is what every day, every politician is trying to give us, right? I mean, all the beautiful sights, all the beautiful songs, music, smells, tastes, sound, the smells, tactile sensations, everything. And this is what we call as the growth, as the development. More we can have, and more we think we are developed. More we think that I'm rich, I can have as much as I want. So this is what we really appreciate. This is where we give our what. And this is what we are following, we are going after. And Buddha says this is the bait of the world. Bait, right? So this is the bait of the world. And there's another group, Buddha says, that they are more into the concentration. They don't want to go after this kind of sensual gratification, but there are certain others who are going after another type of accomplishment, another type of happiness, which is not really drawn through the five senses, but by taming the mind and concentrating the mind, so they are able to achieve another form of happiness that we can say as samadhi sukha, ditta dhamma sukha. So kind of a happiness derived through concentration. And different levels of concentrations are available, and this sutta actually immediately taken it to a very higher level, talking it as aninja, imperturbable. But even before that, there are a lot of other levels. You know, if one is practicing anapanasati, if he want to go through very higher levels of concentration, he can accomplish samatha jhana. First jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. So likewise, very beautiful states are there. Buddha admitted it. And Buddha also mentioned that those are very pleasant ways of abiding, dwelling, and that is available. And as you are further and further improving, so one may understand there are certain drawbacks in the first jhana, so they may reach the second jhana. And when they are developing second jhana, so they may understand there are still drawbacks, disadvantages, dangers in the second jhana, so they may go to the third jhana. So while they are developing third jhana, they may understand still there are shortcomings, dangers in the third jhana, so they reach the fourth jhana. So fourth jhana is fairly stable, so it is coming under the category of imperturbable, aninja. Aninja means unshakable, fairly strong, very stable, because it is in the equanimity, fourth jhana, fairly strong, deep, very stable, and with equanimity. So mind has become fairly stable with the equanimity. And further, if one leave aside all the material sphere and go to the next level, that is the arupa jhana, the first arupa jhana is called akasananchayatana, that is also further enhancing the mind, further growing the mind, sort of one is achieving further development of the mind through concentration, and he is coming to the base of space. So it's a boundless kind of a jhana. Now the previous ones are more limited. Mind is restricted to a particular form, restricted to a particular area. But on the other hand, when one reaches the arupa jhana, so Buddha says, those are even further. So mind is very much expanded, and more concentration, and even the second one, that is the vijnananchayatana, boundless consciousness. So that is the second arupa jhana. So all these three are considered as imperturbable, aninja. So now there are persons who like that. So they want to stay in this very heightened concentrations. They want to enjoy it. And they are sit. They practice in order to achieve it. And they are really appreciating it. Now if you consider, I mean, since we are with Buddha's teaching, probably we are not giving much emphasis to them. But there are certain others who are followers of other teachers. If you wish to go to India, there are a lot of things, a lot of yogis. So their main goal is to accomplish this. Maybe first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, or the arupa jhana. So their main goal is that. So if a group of such people come together, they are discussing that. Now Buddha compares such group of people with the group of people who are more fond of sensuality. So we discussed that five strands of sensuality. So now Buddha compares these two groups. So majority of people don't consider jhana or any of these. But they are more concerned about gratifying senses. So they are going after many distance, many places to satisfy their senses. And if two of those people get together, so they really like to talk. So Buddha very beautifully mentioned, they are intended to talk to each other and they are having a nice time because the other person also has the same desire. Suppose you meet a friend, assume that you are also a person who is more into sensuality, satisfying your senses. Assume that there are we go to even subcategories, like there are people who are really tuned to look at movies. Their main concern is look at dramas. Their main concern is going after long distance and say seeing beautiful sceneries. So there are such people. There are another group, say they want to always satisfy their ears. Wherever a musical show is available, so they are going there and they want to enjoy music. Even further, I mean, there are different levels of music, different types of music. So how you can see, I mean, how differentiations are available even at that level. So we know that it is simply the ear that we are trying to satisfy. Even in that, there are many, many variations. And smells same, taste same, tactile sensations are also same. So different people are there who like that. So if such two people who are fond of the same are get together, so they are like at home. So they want to talk that. Maybe many hours having a drink and, you know, talking on the same topic. I enjoyed that, I enjoyed that. How have you enjoyed this? Yes, yes, I also enjoyed that. It's fantastic. So very interesting talk going on and on. So Buddha say, so this is with a very beautiful simile. Buddha say, assume, now actually during the Buddha's time, there is no internet, no WhatsApp, no social media, no public media, nothing is there. So how they get to know about their village? Suppose someone has left the village several years ago. Now how did they get to know about how their village is forwarding now, how their villagers are doing, how their home people are doing well? So there are other villagers coming from the same village after some time. Now assume that this person left the village couple of years ago doing some business activity in another city, but he don't know what is going on in his village now because he has left the village for a long time now. Now, how he get updated is from a villager coming from that area. And when these two persons get together, they are having a really nice time. Because they know the same thing. So, I was there, I am from the same village. How is that? How they are doing? How that people are doing? How that people are doing? How my house is doing? How my friends are doing? So, you know, I mean, it's a very beautiful conversation. Because after a long time, the same group, two people, two villagers, same villagers have come together. So they are having a very at-home feeling. Same village. They are from the same village. Assume now you go to, in today's term, you go to a far country. You are simply alone there. Fortunately or unfortunately, you meet the same Sri Lankan, another Sri Lankan. Maybe he came recently. So you are asking, probably, you know, I mean, how is doing now? Is the country developing? Is the country going down? How is the dollar now? Have they got enough dollars now? So many things, probably they may be talking because the same interests are there. So Buddha is giving this example, telling that when two people of the same category, same desires, who are fond of sensuality, comes together, and then they are talking, they are really mixing well, and they feel at home, they feel like, I found a real friend, a nice person to be with, and I can go alone with him. So likewise, he is feeling quite comfortable with this person. How about the other group? There's another person who is fond of imperturbable. As I discussed, there are some heightened concentrated states. If that person meet this person, do they match properly? They won't. So their interests are different. And these are not difficult to understand, so their interests are different. So when these two different persons are discussing, they won't feel at home. So one person is talking about some sensual gratification, another person is talking about higher concentration, how he is enjoying, how he is feeling blissful while he is at maybe jhana, but two different things. So to the other person, it is not feeling like at home, not matching. So their desires are different. Now Buddha goes on further. Now there's another group. Now they are going further to the next Arupa Jhana. That is the Akinchanyayatana. That is a further enhanced concentration. And they actually don't have much desire to the imperturbable. They go even further. They are reaching the, what you call, nothingness. Akinchanyayatana. Nothingness. So they are going that. And now they don't like even imperturbable. If you can remember when Prince Siddhartha, after leaving, after renunciation, he first met Alara Kalama. So he was able to achieve this nothingness. So there may be various others who are imperturbable, experiencing imperturbable, but this Alara Kalama is beyond that. So he was able to preach the Akinchanyayatana, nothingness. And he also has a group of students, and they are also trying to achieve that. So that is their goal. Now, if such person meets previous group, a person who likes imperturbable meets a person who likes nothingness, are they matching each other? Still not. So Buddha says, now they are also not going alone. I mean, they are not doing well, in the sense, if they want to talk, their interests are different. Now it's actually very slightly, now things are changing. Buddha is taking us to a slight differences. How our minds are attuned to various goals. So one group is more oriented towards sensual gratification. They are going after that. Their main goal is that. Day after day they are trying to accomplish that. Another group not interested in that. They are more into some amount of concentration. They are trying to be happy with that. They are meditating to achieve that. Even in that area, another group has gone beyond that, has reached the nothingness. And for them, the people who are with imperturbable does not match. It's very much like Buddha is giving a simile, like a big rock has broken into two pieces, you can't match together. Similarly, Buddha mentioned, so the person who reached nothingness does not appreciate the previous stage very much. Because he is more advanced. His mind is more advanced, more stable in nothingness, and it has more stability. Therefore, Buddha says, he may not appreciate the previous stages. And Buddha does not stop there, and even he goes beyond that. Another person reaches neva sanyana, asanyayatana, what you call neither perception nor non-perception. So even the subtlest levels, he reaches. So when one reaches that, for such a person, if he meets previous group who is enjoying nothingness, he doesn't appreciate that even. Now, that is how, now when Prince Siddhartha met, say, actually Bodhisattva met Alara Kalama, he is in the nothingness, and Buddha to be actually practiced that, he achieved that, and then he understood that this is not the end, he left further. He left that place and he went to the others, another person, Uddakarama Putta. So you can see those are available during, even before the Buddha. So Uddakarama Putta was before the Buddha, and he is able to accomplish neva sanya na sanya, neither perception nor non-perception. And now Buddha to be, Bodhisattva is going there and he is learning there. Now assume that one person from Alara Kalama meets one person from Uddakarama Putta, they are not matching because this person has gone beyond the previous one. So therefore Buddha giving another simile there, having eaten food, some delicious food, and he has vomited it, then can't eat again. Like that, Buddha say, a person who is into the very higher level of Arupa Jhana, neither perception nor non-perception, he does not want to go back to the nothingness. For him, it's like a vomited food. So even these heightened stages, so there are different levels, and when they are dwelling in that kind of a level, when they are experiencing that level for long, long time, so their mind is not ready to go to the lower level. Rather, they want to be in the heightened level and they are enjoying it. And if assume that two persons of that group are coming and talking, they are really going along. They like to discuss. Assume that two persons from the Uddakarama Putta, two students of Uddakarama Putta, they are talking. And they may talk about the same subject, how to achieve it, how well they are enjoying it, how they really have feel it. So likewise, Buddha mentioned, so different say yogis are enjoying at their different levels of understanding, still not to the vipassana, still the jhana level, still the concentration level, and even there, so they attach to it, they are claiming it, and they think this is the best, and they think that this is the maximum. And they don't ready to discuss with another person because they are more attracted to what they are experiencing. They are more, very much like narrowed their mind to what they are experiencing. They are not open to look at further. But the difference between the Buddha, so he was able to accomplish Alara Kalama's teaching, that is nothingness. Nothingness. And but he is not happy, he is not content with that, but he has gone beyond, he has gone to the neither perception nor non-perception. And after achieving that, he hasn't stopped there. So that is the difference. He didn't think that this is the end, this is where I have to stop. He didn't think like that, and he want to go beyond. So this is very unrare situation, very rare situation. So especially when one accomplishes deep concentration, it's very difficult to let it go. Very difficult to leave it aside. There are many people who sit in order to achieve higher concentration. So this can happen to each one of us. So once we achieve very high concentration, we are being really sort of thrilled by it, we are being delighted by it, and we may get certain different pleasurable feelings by that. Especially, say, for the very first time, if one is achieving first jhana, not to these high levels, just the first jhana. Assume that you are a person with a lot of distractions in your mind. You couldn't keep your mind even for a short moment with a single object. Now you are trying hard, practicing anapanasati, and one day there's a kind of a very bright light, so you feel amazed how it has happened. You feel really thrilled. And okay, now you are able to manage it, now you are furthering your practice, improving your practice, now you are able to stabilize that sign, nimitta, and you are slowly watching it. You are very much like trance by it, going through a kind of a trance, and at a given moment you are being absorbed to it. And while you are there, you lost yourself. No more I. And you feel really blissful. And maybe you are experiencing kind of waves coming and going, another wave coming and going, another wave coming and going. Very beautiful. Very interesting. Very blissful. And you can market it. A lot of people are doing it. First jhana. So when you are there, if someone else come and tell, don't go there. Are you ready to give it up? It was achieved with a lot of effort. After years practice. Isn't it? After years of practicing, you are able to accomplish nimitta. Now it is available. You properly handle it, stabilize it. Now you maintain it properly. As a result of that, you now absorb to it. Now another person coming and telling you, give it up. You can't do it. And another person come and tell, okay, you master it. Now you master it, okay, you decide, determine, okay, I want to be there for 5 minutes. I want to get absorbed to 10 minutes. I want to get absorbed to 30 minutes. Now you are mastering jhana. Even today these are available. Meditation techniques are available, samatha oriented, where you are in advice to master. And now, so you are able to decide, I want to establish, be in this jhana for 30 minutes, and you are there, sharp, after 30 minutes you can emerge. It's a skill actually, it's not easy, very difficult skill one is developing. And if even after one emerges, you can even reflect back what are the jhana factors available in that experience. What is exactly the jhana? And to the level of mastery, it is mentioned if you are not withdrawn from it and you are not experiencing any downfall in your experience and your mind is fairly attuned to that, fairly developed to that, accordingly, you will get the next rebirth. If you have mastered first jhana to the utmost level, then you are going to the Mahabrahma. If you are achieved it to the middle level, then you are going Brahma Purohita. If you are able to do it only to the mild level, you simply go to the Brahma. Brahma Parisajja. So this is how even the Brahma realms are categorized. These are not easy tasks, and these are eons of lifespan, Brahma realms. And once you achieve such, if someone come and tell you, just give it up, are you ready to give it up? So that's why I mean. So concentration practice, so interesting, so fascinating. There are enough space for us to get attracted, for us to get attached. And on the other hand, when one has concentration, there are 49 types of different views, wrong views, also can arise in the mind. That's another danger. If you refer Brahmajala Sutta, there are 62 types of wrong views are mentioned. Among those 62, 49 of them are for the people who are with higher concentrations. So higher concentrations are very difficult to achieve, and once you achieve, you can end up with the wrong view. It's a kind of a pathetic situation. Now, it is completely different from sensuality. You can see the majority of people are fond of achieving sensuality. Only a very minor group going after these higher concentrations. With lot of effort, they achieve it. And most of them, after achieving it, can end up with a wrong view. So what a path then Buddha has to mention? You can imagine, what a kind of a thicket of views, among thicket of views, how Buddha is coming in a different path among all these different thicket of views and different spiritual practices, how Buddha is taking a different path, not ended up with any of these wrong views. Actually, those people even don't know that they are in a wrong view. That is the problem. Now, Buddha has come out of that and actually has seen all these different views, wrong views, and he gives a very long explanations about each and everyone. If you refer Brahmajala Sutta, so that is a very profound, philosophical, deep kind of an explanation as given to each and every wrong view. And therefore, so spirituality in that sense is sometimes we can understand is kind of complicated, very difficult to find the correct path immediately. So we might have gone through wrong paths. So you might have gone to one teacher who can we know that this teacher is the best teacher? Can we know immediately that he is pointing out the correct path? How do we know? How to evaluate? How to assess? Because we have never gone in the path. We simply have a recommendation coming from another person. Oh, he is a good person. He is a good teacher. And you also have some sort of a belief, kind of a trust onto the person who is recommending, and you are going after him. And you are also now trying, and you also assume that you are getting some amount of concentration, and it is a really good accomplishment, and you feel really happy, you feel blissful, feeling like floating, completely away from the worldly sense. So when one is away from sensuality, away from the world, very much like it's a unworldly, niramisa. So one can even tell it is a maggapala. One can interpret like that. So at these levels, telling that I am an arahant is not a rare situation. One can easily overestimate themselves as I am an arahant. So that is a difficulty. So with lot of effort they have become a monk. With lot of effort they have subsided all the hindrances. With lot of effort they were able to practice anapanasati, arouse the nimitta, and that also not immediately become stabilized, but it's coming and going, very unstable. With lot of effort, they are making it very stable, and further practice only it make it brighter. Further practice only they are able to absorb to it, and only for a short time. And further practice requires for them to master it, be there for a long time. And once there, they have never experienced such kind of a bliss for ever in their life. So what they think? I am an arahant. Can happen. So when it comes to second jhana, so they may can say, okay, now I am an arahant. Not previously. Say they reach third jhana. Okay, now I am an arahant, not previously. They come to the fourth jhana. Now only I became an arahant, but not previously. So, I mean, it's very difficult. How you know? So, what are the assessing or the measurements we have? Now, say, if you are in Colombo, if you have a map, so you can have some kind of a tally, kind of a comparison between the written evidence and now what you are experiencing, and you can see, okay, now yes, according to the book, these different signs are there, should be I am in Colombo. Now, where are Colombo? Is it Peta or is it Fort or, sorry, is it in Kalalgoda, is it Talavatugoda, is it Batramulla, is it Kompanyamidiya, Colombo. Everything is Colombo. Very difficult. So, therefore, this even though we are fond of spirituality, so that is also very completed in that sense. So, that is why Buddha is giving, rather than immediately answering Sunakkatta's question, he's giving a very broader idea about the spiritual attainment. So, even when people are talking, they are talking to the same group. So, they actually confirm their idea. Now, assume that a group of people who accomplished first jhana and they overestimated themselves as they are an arahant, and another person from the same category, they come and talk, they will tell the same thing. And they like that group, no? They don't like the previous group. They come and talk on the same language. This person is telling, I am experiencing this and I have accomplished arahantship. And so this is also telling the same experience. Experiences are matching. So this person is also convinced, yes, he is claiming he is an arahant. He has gone to the Buddha. He mentioned that. So I also have the same experience. Then I should also be an arahant. So how are you going to verify? And you are not tallying with another group. You are not ready. When you are talking to another group, say another person who is in the fourth jhana, or you are talking with another person who is completely into the sensuality. So this person don't feel like at home. So their ideas are not matching each other. So they quickly go away. They are not ready to compare. They are coming to a kind of a very good discussion, because their interests are different. Their mind are attuned to different levels. One person in first jhana for a long time attuned to that one, immediately one sit, quickly mind is there. Another person who is in, say, arupa jhana, quickly achieve that. Once he sit, he is there. Now, these two persons are at different levels, but they, when they want to tally them, they are in a different level. They can't tally each other. Each one of them can say they are arahants through overestimation, and they can't even compare themselves. So, therefore, it's very, very difficult to say, I am not an arahant, I am just in a first jhana, I am simply in a arupa jhana, this is simply a samatha practice, I don't want to go only in this path, I have to go to another path. This is not the Buddha's teaching. I mean, rather, this is not really the Buddha appreciate. There are another path available. So, I mean, to give up that, what we have accomplished with lot of effort, how much kind of a humble attitude we have to have? How much another kind of attitude we have to have? Rather than being simply enjoying a very blissful, very heightened kind of a concentration, just to give it up and look to a different path. So now we come into another group. Now, there are another group, Buddha mentioned, who are oriented with Nibbana. So now you are happy thinking that now you all are in that group. So Buddha mentioned another group is available who are oriented in Nibbana and not in this, not into sensuality, not into imperturbable, that comes under all the jhanas, rupa jhanas and the first and second arupa jhanas, and not to the nothingness, not to the neither perception nor non-perception, but to nibbana. So what is the definition of nibbana? So what is the idea of nibbana? So how we know that I am oriented towards nibbana? So that is also an interesting question. So if you refer very first sutta of Majjhima Nikaya, so Buddha is taking 24 concepts. How a person look at different concepts? Say Patavi Dhatu. Now what is your idea about Patavi Dhatu? Is this Patavi Dhatu? Is your teeth Patavi Dhatu? Yes. Patavi Dhatu? What's the color of the Patavi Dhatu? Okay. So likewise, I mean, we have different perspectives about Patavi Dhatu. So if you haven't go through deep practice, if you haven't experienced Patavi Dhatu in the deep sense, so you can tell, okay, Patavi Dhatu is the hardness, so this building is more of Patavi Dhatu, say floor is of Patavi Dhatu, earth is of Patavi Dhatu, whatever solid is Patavi Dhatu, it is different from Apo Dhatu, Apo Dhatu is more into fluid, so we can argue. That is a conceptual knowledge, that's a theoretical knowledge. But if you really want to practice, if you really want to experience it, then you have to practice. Then you have some experiential knowledge of Patavi Dhatu. So that is what we do in, say, what we call Dhatu Manasikara. So before you practice Dhatu Manasikara, you have some idea of Patavi Dhatu, isn't it? So you have some idea of Patavi Dhatu. So is that idea of Patavi Dhatu and what you really experience during your walking meditation while you are practicing Dhatu Manasikara, is it the same? Now, before you practice also, while you are doing your Dham Pasala Sunday school, you learned four great elements, Patavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayo. So, somebody asked that question from in your exam, so you are writing Satra Maha Bhuta Namkaran. So, name for great elements. So, you are writing Patavi Dhatu, Apo Dhatu, Tejo Dhatu, Vayo Dhatu. So, what are the characteristics of Patavi Dhatu? Hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, heaviness, lightness. So, you know it. So, is it what are you experiencing while you are practice? Are the words that you are experiencing? Is it the concept of hardness that you are experiencing? So experiential knowledge and our conceptual understanding before you achieve experiential knowledge is quite different. So you had a kind of an idea, this should be like this. But when you really experience it, it's a kind of a very naive kind of, very novice kind of, a new kind of an experience. So it may be different from what you think about it. Before you really experience it, you had a different kind of an idea of Patavi Dhatu, but once you experience it, you have a different kind of experience. But assume that when two people are talking about Patavi Dhatu, and they are maybe academics talking to their talking to their knowledge, one person may go through a lot of analysis, not through experience, but have read a lot of books, and another person is simply a beginner, reading, he's only grade 10. So, different understanding, but only theoretical. But when one is experiencing, is it different or same? Could be differences. There are still some similarities also. Because experiential knowledge has many similarities also. Even a person with, say, 20 years old, he is experiencing Patavi Dhatu. Another person with 40 years old is experiencing Patavi Dhatu. Is it the same or different? Now assume a person who is a Dhamma school student. Now he is taught about Nibbana. A Dhamma school teacher. He learned about Nibbana. A monk. He read about Nibbana. A foreigner in another country. He read many books. He has another idea of Nibbana. Is it the same? Are they really experiencing Nibbana? So we, before experience, so we have different ideas about Nibbana. So therefore, Buddha mentioned, at that level, Nibbana is a concept. So when someone is telling Nibbana is a concept, are you feeling happy? Because, I mean, Patavi Dhatu may be concept, fine. Apo Dhatu concept, fine. Tejo Dhatu concept. Vayo Dhatu concept. So different concepts. Now all 23 concepts are there. Now Buddha is putting even Nibbana to that. Nibbana is also a concept. So the monks who were listening to them, that sermon was not heavy. That is one of the suttas, maybe only one sutta. Now typically at the end of all the suttas, it is mentioned all the monks, all the audience, after hearing Buddha's Dhamma sermon, they were quite delighted, they were really happy. They were elated, they were quite happy about Buddha's teaching. But this Mula Pariyaya Sutta, after hearing that, what happened? The monks were not happy. It is mentioned at the end of the Sutta. Maybe one reason, maybe, Nibbana is also Buddha mentioned as a concept. So, when a worldly person look at Nibbana, when a worldly person think about Nibbana, he doesn't have any kind of an experience of Nibbana. He has a kind of a conceptual idea. If Nibbana should be like this, maybe I am going to experience it after death. So that is why in the banners you mentioned, Nivan Sapalaveva. So at the end of the death, I am going to experience Nibbana. So Nibbana should be like this. It should be a white color one. There can't be anything else. I mean, there can't be sun or stars or anywhere, anything in the Nibbana, and I go and be with the Buddha. Buddha is already there. Maybe I go and unite with the Buddha. So, I mean, these are, even though we are taking it for joke, so this is how most of the people are thinking. So it's a kind of a place, somewhere there, and going and reborn there, and I am ever there. So that's a kind of a sasata ditti. So we, most of us, having about Nibbana. So, and someone might think, okay, I am before attaining Nibbana, I am there, but after attaining Nibbana, I disappear. So, is it Nibbana? So, another confusion, isn't it? So, now can we say, now all these people, I mean, with different ideas, different concepts about Nibbana, are they really Nibbana-oriented people? Now, the last category that Buddha mentioned here, can we all see, can we all say that all people, now say if we consider 100 people, they have different views about Nibbana, can we all say all 100 of them are Nibbana-oriented? Very difficult. So, even the Nibbana, therefore, even as Buddhist, do we have the same idea about Nibbana? Do we have the same understanding about Nibbana? So, that is also a very complicated situation in that sense. So, before we start practicing, so how we know this is the Nibbana, this is what I am going to accomplish, ultimately I should feel like this. Do you have such kind of an understanding before practice, after 1 month practice, after 2 years practice, ultimately I should feel like this once I attain Nibbana? So how do you know then you are in Nibbana? Then we are going in the wrong path, no? How we know? So therefore we have to look at differently. So we always have to, in a way, come back to the Buddha and come back to the Buddha's teaching and to some sort of tallying our experience. Have to refer the Buddha's teaching. Am I gone wrong? Am I doing some wrong practice? Am I doing some overestimation? Have I gone in the wrong path? So how much of kind of a humility, humbleness we should have in order to do such kind of a tallying, in order to do such kind of a comparison? And how much of feeling as a student? Buddha is the teacher, I am a student. Buddha is the teacher who knows, I don't know. So Bhagava Janati Aham Na Janamiti. Very beautifully mentioned in one of the suttas. So Buddha mentioned for us to have a kind of attitude, you don't know. I don't know. I am a student. I am just learning. Buddha knows. He's the teacher. He's the master. So when we are practicing, are we really feeling like that? So one situation, say once you are experiencing some deep concentration and you come and report to a teacher, he says, oh, this is just nonsense, give it up. What do you think? Are you ready to think you are a student? He's a teacher. And you think you are an arahant? So what do you think? You think that you have mistaken, he's the teacher, so you have mistaken. Are you ready to think like that? Very unlikely. All concentration states are very, very uplifting. All spiritual attainments are fairly uplifting. And once you report it to a teacher, if he's really an advanced teacher, if he's really an accomplished teacher, if he say that you have mistaken, just give it up, it's very unlikely the student would accept it. Rather, the student would think, so he haven't experienced such kind of a deep concentration, so blissful concentration, he couldn't have experienced it. Probably he might even jealous of me. Very high situation to think like that. So whenever one is going through some spiritual development, so rather than we maintaining that simple, humble, innocent attitude, we tend to overestimate ourselves. We tend to think high about ourselves. We think far from the teacher. We think beyond the teacher very much like. We think that teacher hasn't gone through it. He has never accomplished or he has gone through this kind of a concentration as I do. So he has certainly has mistaken. So I better go to a different teacher. So you change the teacher. So this is happening. So therefore, these monks coming and telling to the Buddha, I am an arahant, is not uncommon. Even today, say people may be thinking that I am an arahant, or I am this, I am that, I am in that jhana, I am this jhana, I am the best, or whatever it is. So these are not uncommon things. Spiritual achievements are highly motivating conceit in ourselves. So conceit is a defilement, but unfortunately, spiritual attainments or spiritual achievements, maybe very slight achievements, because of our own, say, stupidity, because of our own ignorance, we keep them in a very high level and think I am the best. I have achieved the goal. I have become an arahant. So those are, therefore, really deceiving in that sense. So in order to put ourselves down or to instead of overestimation, in order to do some kind of underestimation and thinking that I have gone wrong, he is the teacher, I am a student. So thinking like that requires fair amount of, in a way, innocence, honesty, oriented towards Nibbana. And again, the kind of attuned to leave it aside, giving up, not to claim, not to grasp, not to identify. So people are practicing sometime to talk, sometime to show off, sometime to compare. I am in first jhana. I am a jhana practitioner. I am in second jhana. You are below than me. I mean, you are in on simply in first jhana. I am in second jhana. So people can talk like that. So you guys are simply practicing rupa jhana. I am in the arupa jhana. Far beyond that. So they are using these demarcations available in spirituality for comparison. So Buddha say of Asappurisa. In Asappurisa Sutta, Buddha was not afraid to tell a people who are doing such kind of a comparison and identifying themselves as I have this, I have that, and I am more than you, I am more than that, you are below me. It's an Asappurisa. Bad person. So spirituality, not sensual desires, not going after sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations, but with lot of hard practice achieved some spiritual growth, identifying it as myself. I have achieved that. I am better than you. So I can tell, no, I am a monk, I am better than you. I have gone through a lot of practice, I am better than you. You all are just lay people. So if I am telling that, Asappurisa. So how, I mean, Buddha was not afraid of telling that. So therefore Buddha mentioned, even a person who has achieved neva sanya na sanyayatana, atammayata buttati bhagavata. Very interesting term. Not to identify with that. Not to claim that I have it, I am accomplished with that, I am the best in that, you guys are below me. So instead of doing that, atammayata, disclaim it. Very difficult things. I mean, we can tell these things, but very difficult. When you really hard earned these very highest beautiful states, and just to leave it aside and just feeling like a beginner, feeling like an innocent person, have nothing, just neglect that, even if your mind goes there, okay, not going there, still okay, feeling like a beginner, ready to come back, come down, thinking that I am a student, very difficult. So that is where Buddha's teaching is so different than the other types of spiritual practices, and who are oriented with accomplishing something, going after a goal, and once you reach that, you claim it, I am that, I have become that. So when you are telling, I am that, so you can feel that I is there, I am that. Some kind of a proud statement. I have become that. I have become with oneness. Aren't there I? There is I. So I have become that. So there is I. Notion of I is strongly available with a very refined level. Not with the looking at a girl or looking at a movie like that. But at a very refined level, you have merged with that. I am that. Very refined. So that is why, so Buddha's teaching actually is taking us in a very subtle path. And there are enough occasions that we can go wrong, where we can come to very wrong overestimations. So in this sutta, so therefore in the we'll discuss further next time. So Buddha is explaining, even for a person who really go through the practice, really go through the vipassana practice, and really achieving the temporary liberation, even to him, Buddha mentioned that you have to restrain. And very beautiful simile is mentioned. I am not going to tell it now. We'll keep it for next time. So some of us achieve a little bit maybe. So even for us, there are a very strong message available in this sutta. So we'll discuss further in this sutta. Very interesting, very profound. And there are interesting misleadings. How Buddha is trying to save us from those misleadings are really interesting. So with that hope, I like to wind up today's Dhamma sermon. Thank you very much for attentive listening, and we'll continue this sutta on next month if we get an opportunity during the next session of Kalalgoda English Medium Retreat. Thank you very much for listening. So we have come to the conclusion of today's session, one day retreat. So we were able to accumulate a lot of merits through our daily practice and participating in the Dhamma sermon and Dhamma discussion. So let's share these merits with all the past devotee relatives, all the celestial beings, and all the other beings who are in need of merits. And let's wish that these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, Nibbana. While keeping these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu mam param. Actually, I forgot there's a punyanumodana. Today's lunch dana was offered by Ms. Damayanti Senadira, and morning tea with cake was offered by Gayani Abhesinga in view of her late mother Sujata Abhesinga's birthday on 23rd of December. So when we are reciting the passing the merits to all passed away relatives, so we'll keep them in also in mind, in our mind, and let's recite the traditional verses to pass merits to the passed away relatives.
Idam vo nyate nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyate nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyate nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.